Today's topic, I guess, if I were to give a name to it, I would say it's things that we say as people in the world and things that God says back to what we say. So I hope today I provoke some of your thought to study this out more, because the things that I have here is by no means all the things that we could talk about in this certain topic. So we're going to be flipping through a lot of scriptures today. My other grandpa in Plainview is Jay Henderson. Many of you know him, but he said a good sermon is not one with no scriptures in it, so I'm going to abide by him today. So if you would, please turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 through 6. We'll start out there. The first statement that people say today is, I can't figure it out. Well, in return, God says, I will direct your steps. So we'll start reading in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Go up a couple of chapters into chapter 16 of Proverbs, and then we'll read verse 9. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. It says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And then in Psalms chapter 23 and verse 2, it says, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then lastly, Psalms chapter 119 in the 105th verse, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, many times when I speak, I always say that God's on our side, and so who can be against us? And God is on our side, and he's going to direct our steps, and as he's given us the Bible, he's going to tell us how to live life and how he wants us to live life. Next thing is, we'll say, I'm too tired. God says, I will give you rest. If you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 11 and we'll read verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 through 30. Here it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Next we'll turn to John chapter 16 and verse 33. John chapter 16 and verse 33. Here it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So God is going to give us rest, and he's told us in scripture that he's never going to tempt us more far above than we can bear. So he's going to be with us, just like I said a minute ago. Next thing is, we say it's impossible, but God says all things are possible with him. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 27, it says, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, it says, but Jesus beheld them, and he said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So as we've read, these verses have made it very clear. We should never say that something is impossible, because God is on our side, and we can do anything we put our minds to with God. You know, someone might say, nobody loves me. God says, I love you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think most of us know this verse, and it's a very popular verse in today's world. God so loved us that he gave his only Son. You know, I don't have kids, but I can't think about giving my parents away for the world, for our terrible actions that we do in this world. But God loved us so much that he did that for us. Next, we'll go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. We'll read verses 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read verses 4 through 5. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 it says, But God commandeth his love towards us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Next thing, we say, I can't forgive myself. God says, I forgive you. In Romans chapter 8, in the first verse, it says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, it says, For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. You know, oftentimes when you ask for forgiveness from God, He's already forgiven you before you forgive yourself. Some people say it's not worth it. God says it will be worth it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So as I said, it will be worth it all a minute ago. Me and Todd are in the same football team, and we share a head football coach, the athletic director of our program, and our slogan or our motto this year is all in. Every time we end a practice or end a game, he asks us the question, are you all in? You know, we kind of did some character studies in the spring, and I didn't really know what he meant by all in. And he put it to us this way. He said, are you in the class just to go through football, or are you in football? So I think this can direct us in Christian life as, are we all into God? Are we all into his gospel? Are we all into his word? You know, if we're not all in and judgment day arises, what are we going to tell God? Are we going to tell him, well, I was waiting on this or this. I was waiting on the right time. Well, as Sean said, the right time is now. We need to be all in. Next thing we say, I'm not smart enough. God says, I will give you wisdom. If you would, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Here it says, But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now I'll go back a couple of verses to verse 25. It says, Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So, reading this verse, in the part where it's talking about the strength, you know, you can look at the biggest, strongest man in the world. I don't know if anyone watches American Ninja Warrior, but those guys are pretty fit. And you know, here it says, God's weakness is stronger than man's strength. So it puts that into perspective for me. You know, God is very strong. Next, we'll turn to James chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and the good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. In the same book of James, we'll turn to chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberty and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. You know, God has given us the Bible, and I believe that there's every answer that we need to life in this Bible. We say, I'm not able, and God says, I am able. You know, a minute ago I talked about how he's on our side in this fight of the life. He's on our side and he's going to help us. So now we'll turn over to Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 27. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 27. It says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all the flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" We'll look over in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. It says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So God tells us we're not to fear man here on earth. We're to fear him which is above. We say, "I can't go on." And God says, "My grace is sufficient." In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in the 9th verse it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 9 it says, For by the grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So God's grace is sufficient through us and through our souls. Next we'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Many times I find myself saying I can't do it. God says you can do all things. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 it says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Also, if we look in Mark chapter 10 and the 27th verse it says, "And Jesus looking upon them saith, With men is impossible, but with God, for with God all things are possible." Just as I said a minute ago, God's weaknesses are still stronger than man. Anything is possible with God. Another thing we might say is, "I can't manage things." And God says, "I will supply all your needs." Philippians, the 4th chapter, starting in the 9th verse, it says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Also, if we look in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." God is an all-knowing God. He's an all-caring God. He's an all-loving God. Now, I don't think I'd want to have anyone else on my side in the fight of life. I often find myself saying, "I'm afraid to do something. I'm afraid of a challenge." Well, God says, "I have not given you fear." 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Romans chapter 8 and 31, it says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who be against us?" When I was putting this lesson together, I started seeing a common theme. It said, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I look at all the things that are going on in the world, you know, the police brutality and the hate against that. And, you know, I think if people will just look to God and pray to God, I think the world would be a better place. Because after all, he is our creator and he's the only one that can solve this problem. We say, "I feel alone." God says, "I will never leave you." Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." So as we've been reading through these scriptures, I hope that you've seen that we need to trust in God completely and put our life in his hands. So next I'm going to give you two examples of how to do this. The first example would be to study God's word. You know, many times everyone has busy lives. We all have kids and they have lives too, and sports and everything. And we don't always make time to study the Bible like we should. So Brother Chase Palmer last Sunday, he said, we all have the same day. We all have 24 hours in a day. And it's up to us what we do spending that time in our day. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 through 17 says, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Also, going back a chapter in 2 Timothy in verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So as I said, studying the Word, we can often examine ourselves as we did this morning, partaking of the Lord's Supper. We can kind of see where we at as a Christian standpoint and see what we need to improve on. Number two is to pray. Prayer is our open communication with God. 1 John 5 and chapter 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." My mom got into my notes, and she put a story in here. I guess I'll go ahead and tell it. Back when we were living in Mesquite, I don't know how old I would have been. I was probably 11 or 12, and Todd and Tayton were out there throwing the football. And I don't remember who did it either, but it hit the window and it broke it. And so we got in a kumbaya circle and we started praying. Each of us had a prayer to say. And I think we all prayed that we wouldn't get a whooping from mom or dad. So, yeah, she put that in there. And it kind of worked, I guess. We still had to pay for the window. We just didn't get a whooping for that one. I guess she thought that was kind of funny for all of us praying for no whippings that day. But a good point to that would be is if we only pray when we're in trouble, then we're in trouble with God. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." To quote Martin Luther King, it says, "To be a Christian without prayer is not more possible than to be alive without breathing." You know, I thought about that for a second, and that's very true. You know, prayer, we can't be a Christian and not pray. It's virtually impossible. So God's plan for us is simple. We tend to make it much harder than it needs to be. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And finally, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So I know that this last verse that we read, it says, "Be not conformed to the world." It's oftentimes hard, I think, especially for young people at my age and younger. So we're going to school and everyone said, all your friends say, "Well, you can come to this party, have a drink or whatever. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to do anything." But you know, my friend's dad, Sean Hanley, many of you know him. He's a cop and he investigates this kind of stuff. And, he said one thing leads to another. I mean, he had a girl that he busted in after high school. She was the prom queen, homecoming queen, cheerleader captain, and the list goes on. And she got invited to a party. She took a drink. Then before she knew it, she was going to more parties and smoking dope and injecting different kinds of drugs, and he found her, and she was selling her body to a homeless man for $5. And that's kind of what happens when you conform to the world. You keep doing things, and at first you think, well, this is kind of all right. It's not hurting me in any way, but in the end, it's really going to hurt you. as I close, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. Now, we talked about being all in. Are you all in? Are you just in God's kingdom just to think you're saved? Like Sean said, you know, if you just say the sinner's prayer, you're not just saved. Are you all in?